Our Bible reading this morning is from Luke chapter 23, commencing at verse 26, and it's the crucifixion. And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of our Lord.
Thank you, Greg. Our text verse is verse 43, and he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Today you will be with me in paradise. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, we live in a time where people don't have hope anymore. In a time where people are in serious need of the gospel. And to hear a sermon about the crucified Christ, the gospel, people struggle more and more to make sense in a world that makes no sense anymore. The pandemic, the rumors of war, floods, increasing life costs, fast-changing world, made people realize that their kingdoms, their life were built on, were sand, could be taken away in an instant. Greater Sydney alone. Last year, there were 897 suicides. And the most shocking about this statistic is that the highest group that committed suicide was between 25 and 32. And our young people also are confused. Why did a young child stab another child to death at a Sydney Easter show? Only 17 and 15 year old. What is happening to our young people? Why don't they have hope anymore? From the earliest times, people were asking about a sense of life. They asked questions. If God is in control, why is there evil in this world? Why do young people die? Why do we experience the brutality of lawlessness in our time? Why is sin sometimes rewarded instead of punished? And why does it seem if sinners come away with things? King Solomon asked these things in Ecclesiastes 3. But he also concluded, moreover, I saw under the sun, and when he speaks about the sun, it's this world, that in the place of justice, even there was wickedness. And in the place of righteousness, even there was wickedness. I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there's a time for every matter and for every work. And so King Solomon concluded that we should never judge God's motives. For every matter, there's an appointed hour under heaven. Time to born, time to die. And that all the injustice, all the crime, all the sin, all the evil in this world do not mean that God will not act in time. God promised that he would act in time, and that every injustice will be judged. And then his justice came down on his son. People still struggle with death. The effects of sin had caused suffering. And they ask why God allowed that to happen. And their problem is the cross. Their misunderstanding and ignorance of the cross. The theologian, preacher John Piper once said, thousands of airplanes fly across the globe and we don't give God one thought. But when one crashes, all humanity cries, where's your God? And this is the foolishness of the world. If you can't understand the cross, you need to come to the cross, to come to our Lord Jesus Christ, to confess your guilt and sins, allow Jesus to nail your sins on the cross. You will also struggle with hope and a sense of life. And we need to bring and lift the gospel to confused people in our time. Reassure them, God is in control of our time in Australia, today. We need to preach and bring the gospel like the Apostle Paul taught in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. Folly means foolishness. And the preaching of a crucified Jesus is more powerful than this world, more powerful than philosophy, than the urges and the riches of the heathen world. And unfortunately, this is Australia as well. We are now part of this heathen world. Just look outside. How many people really know what Easter is all about? But Christ crucified is the foundation of all our hopes. Christ crucified is the fountain of joy, that we could become free. And by his death, we live. And the preaching of salvation for lost sinners by the sufferings and the death of the Son of God, if explained and faithfully applied, appears foolishness to those in the way to destruction and hell. And for the sensual, the covetous, the proud and the ambitious, they will think that the gospel opposes their favorite pursuits and desires. But for those who hear the gospel, receive the gospel, those who are enlightened by the Spirit of God, they will see the power of God's wisdom, the doctrine of Christ crucified, Jesus, his son, that was crucified for my sins. And today we can hear this gospel, the gospel of the cross, in its effect on the sinner. In the gospel of Luke, it's portrayed by three crosses. Verse 32, two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. This is probably the most touching passage. And it demonstrates the compassion of the Lord on sinners. Where the Lord reached out despite his own suffering, his own agony, his own physical, emotional, and even spiritual agony on the cross, he still had time for the sinner on the cross. And why do we say that? Because there's a big difference between the three deaths. Yeah, all three were crucified. All three were probably beaten and suffered immensely. But only one of them was utterly innocent. And only one of them was utterly forsaken by God. This was the darkest hour in world history. Christ's loneliness. But it was the new dawn of a new tomorrow for the believer. Christ endured excruciating torments when God forsook him on the 3 hours of darkness on the cross. Matthew 27 verse 46, his fourth word on the cross, he said, Eloi, Eloi, lima sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? And to be abandoned by God is to experience excruciating pain and distress. King Saul became mad when God forsook him. Made use of the witch of Endor, could only be calmed if David played psalms on the harp. He was forsaken by God. We read in 1 Samuel 16 verse 14, now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, but Saul took it upon himself. It was his own fault because he had sinned and disobeyed God. But Jesus had no sin. No sin. He died on the cross for my disobedience. And we were reconciled with God. And the Father withdrew him from the loving communion with his Son. So did man, even his disciples. Isaiah 53 verse 3, he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised and we held him in low esteem. Even the disciples who loved him did not regard him at that time. Peter, who said, I don't know him. And even the sun was withdrawn, and there was darkness. From the 6th hour until the 9th hour, darkness came over the land. Not even the most godless man on earth, not even those criminals on Jesus' left and right could be so utterly forsaken by God as Jesus was on the cross. He was abused. He was violated. He had the pains of hell into his death. There was no one else and no creature or person could bear God's judgment. And he was prepared to take my judgment, our judgment, upon himself to reconcile us with God. The judgment that was upon us because of our disobedience and the disobedience of those on the cross with him. But still, even in the face of death, one of the criminals treated Jesus with contempt. He also saw everything. He was the closest to Jesus. He heard everything. He heard how Jesus forgave the scoffers, the world, those who insulted him, those who had beaten him. He knew everything. He knew his own death was inevitable. But even in the face of death, he insulted and mocked Jesus. Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. Like I've said before, the world is becoming a confusing place, especially when they don't want to acknowledge Jesus as their Savior. And they're blaming God for all the misfortune in the world. And this is ignorance. All of humanity has sinned in ignorance. They've sinned because they don't acknowledge the Lord. In Acts 3, the Apostle Peter was preaching to a crowd in Jerusalem about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and repentance. And he just finished telling them about Jesus' sacrifice, Jesus' death on the cross. And he said in verse 17, "And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers." But ignorance, to say I didn't know, is not an excuse. The prophets have foretold this. Everything has been fulfilled. Jesus, he still preached this day. This message is still coming to us. And we need to know that we were all responsible for crucifying Christ because we have all sinned. That's Romans 3, verse 23. Because of my sin, Jesus was crucified. And we must all repent of sin, even though we did it in ignorance. There's so many reasons for ignorance today. People are lazy to research God's word. People are seeking their own desires, and they are lovers of themselves and their wealth. And you have to ask, how can people be so blind that they can't see Jesus? And the answer is because of sin. And sin is disobedience and rebellion to God, and even in the face of death. Even in the face of death, that people don't want to repent. As that man on the cross on the left of Jesus. And you have seen it as well. You have seen it, how people cry at funerals. Cry about their loved ones. But the next day, they continue with their lives without asking the tough questions. What about me? What will happen to me after I die? Our text told us that only one of those who were crucified with Jesus would be with Jesus in paradise. And the implication where the other one went is so clear. He would not be in paradise, but in an eternal hell. And this is because of his rebellion, even in death, even in being crucified next to Jesus. Even in seeing everything about the crucified Christ and not believing. But for the one on Jesus' right, there was grace. What happened to him? Confession and repentance. Note how his words connect his crimes and sin to God. Do you not fear God? People of God, you are seeing everything in this world and it's crying out, repent. Do you not fear God? When you see your own body and how vulnerable it is, getting older, do you not fear God? And during his sin and rebellion, he came to his senses. He confessed that he was a sinner against God's holiness. God's truth, God's love. He confessed that he was getting what he deserved. And he owned up to his guilt. And when he owned up to his guilt, he encountered the grace of God. And everything changed for this one. He said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. We need a Savior. Not just any Savior. A Savior that can save us from our sin and rebellion against the Holy God, makes us right with God. And this is why the criminal's first word in receiving grace, forgiveness, and eternal hope was Jesus. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This is the key. Jesus. It means save us. Save me, Savior. And Jesus answers, truly I say to you today, will you be with me in paradise? Hope. With these words, Jesus opened heaven for a repentant sinner. Jesus alone is enough to save you. Faith in Jesus' sacrifice and resurrection is sufficient, more than enough to make you right with God. This criminal had no good works. He was not a good man. He was crucified for his sins, and he deserved this. But Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was why he could be with Jesus in paradise and eternal heaven. That's grace. Amazing grace. This sermon of Jesus about Jesus is still so applicable. Come to Jesus if you are heartbroken, if you don't know anymore, if you don't see sense in life. And you will live in all eternity. Today you will be with me in paradise. And we see still two crosses on Jesus' sides. And they are representing millions of crosses stretching out on either side of Jesus. Those on his left are damned by their own actions, their own ignorance, their own choices of unbelief and ignorance. But those on his right are saved because of grace. Because they acknowledge their sin, ask for redemption to the one Savior, the one that died for our sins, and they will receive his grace. Be washed clean by his blood that was shed for our sins. That's grace. Some in the world are still mocking, despite urgent need, despite being in serious trouble, because our Lord Jesus Christ will return and he will come as a judge, and they are already dead in their sins, Romans 3. They have no hope and they're facing certain and eternal death. But for those who stretch out their hands to their redeeming faith, repent. Those who are deep aware of their sin, they will hear forgiveness, grace in all eternity because of what Jesus has done. And this is the message of Good Friday. This is why we can have hope. He has nailed my sins on the cross, and because of that, I will live in all eternity. My Lord, my Savior. That's amazing grace. The prodigal son and daughter that came home. Amazing grace. And Jesus lives. He was risen on the third day. And because he lives, I don't fear tomorrow, and I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. I don't have to fear death, pain, suffering. because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. Is it all worth it? Life is worth the living just because he lives. For that guy on Jesus' right, it was all worth it. Today you will be with me in paradise. We need to hear this message of grace. Not only on Good Friday, but every day, because there's not much time to preach the gospel to the unrepentant sinner. It's almost time to be with God in paradise, in all eternity. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, the message of the cross is a message of hope and grace, and we can share in faith in this. That Jesus is our Lord and Savior, our Redeemer, because of your grace, who gave your only Son. We can be with you in paradise as well one day. No, it's by grace. Father, we pray that this message of the cross will be proclaimed all over the world today, and that people will realize that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Jesus is the reason we have Easter. Jesus is the reason that we have hope and can face a certain and uncertain tomorrow, because in you it's sure and certain. And we have an eternal future. Father, we pray for the sad and the heartbroken, that they will find their comfort in you. Know that nothing can separate us from your love. The love of our Lord Jesus Christ that said to a repentant sinner, today you will be with me in paradise. In his name we pray. Amen.